number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty act. Leg it down. Smack him.
Nighttime is the right time. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
If we die, we die together.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive, recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio.
Is now.
Oh, got to be.
This is what we do.
From the Quick and Loan Studios, here's Tony D.
So we got a game six at Kauffman Stadium tonight for the Royals and the Blue Jays. And maybe I spoke a little too soon about the Blue Jays' demise. Yeah, because if they get this game six, they get to Yordano Ventura, then, yeah, anything goes in game seven, right? Do we still buy into that? Anything goes in game seven?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, right?
I just do you think David Price can break, what is it, seven straight losses he has in the playoffs?
I know. Oh, I know.
Like, that's crazy. And he's about to get $200 million.
What do you do if you're John Gibbons and he struggles, but he doesn't give any runs, but you could just tell, like,
You just have that guy, whoever right? your guy is that's up next, you have him warm and ready to go.
Yeah, you just got to make sure you can't.
You don't want to do it too early.
This is not the place to prove a point.
Right.
This is not a place to ride something out. It's not new.
And especially if you know you are kind of like, okay, we're probably not bringing David Price back next year. You don't have to worry about going into next season, you know, maybe this affecting him. If you're not willing to give him the $200 million, then if he struggles, I'd say if he gives up two runs, he's gone. He's done in the first few innings.
You got to think, though, that the Blue Jays could take their chances with Johnny Cueto against Johnny Cueto in game seven.
Yeah.
I mean, like Cueto's had good games and he's pitching the postseason, but he also can blow up any minute. I'll take that chance. I'll roll that dice with Johnny Cueto in game seven that I might be able to get to him. But yeah, you need Price to be stellar. And if he's on and he's good, then they got a fighting chance and those bats, they can come alive at any moment. So I might be a little premature burying the Blue Jays.
You'll get Marcus Stroman.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I said, get to that game seven on Saturday, see what happens. But yeah, and I just love the way the Mets are gonna be able to set that rotation and I think the Mets are gonna win this World Series. I don't either one of these teams playing, I think the Mets are gonna win it.
You know what I would love to see?
It's just gonna be pitching.
I would love to see the Blue Jays come back and win this and have because they'll set it up probably like they did early. It'd be DeGrom, Syndergaard, Harvey, Mats is how I'm sure they'll set it up.
Oh, sure, yeah, probably.
And I would love to see that game two between the Blue Jays and Mets have R.A. Dickey go against Noah Syndergaard because that was the trade.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Look at you advanced thinking, right? Yeah, advanced putting the storylines.
And then just to see the Mets just destroy R.A. Dickey.
Because they're going to destroy R.A. Dickey.
Right. Everybody destroys R.A. Dickey. His knuckleball does nothing.
God. When did he win the Cy Young? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Three, I think.
Three years ago? God. I remember that.
Also in that deal was the catcher, Travis d'Arnaud.
That's right. That's the Mets for you, man. That's the Mets. And you know what? You know what's amazing about that? And here's a great example of what we were talking about yesterday with the Mets and how hard it is in a city like New York to start preaching the patience and whatnot. Like, because they're so used to the Yankees just, hey, we got guys, we're going to keep them, we're going to pay them $100 million, and they stay around. And if there's another guy that we want that's $100 million, we'll go get him too. And here were the Mets trading R.A. Dickey and getting pieces and then had to convince the crazy Met fans that just did not understand this kind of stuff. You trust us. This is going to work out. It is so hard to do in that market. It is not like other markets where people kind of get it. You know, they're like, yeah, we understand. And this is how this works. And you're trying to build and we're patient. The Mets fans were like, whoa, wait. That's how hard it is to do, but the Mets built this the right way. They really, really built this the right way.
Well, and it's not like the Cubs where, you know, a guy like Theo Epstein, who just did it in Boston a few times, was coming in, and he's like, hey, let's, you know, we're going to be bad for 3, 4, 5 years. So just wait. We'll get there. It's not like the Mets have that. They've just been bad for a long time.
And that's the whole pitch, the Mets, right? You're right. Is that, hey, listen, it's not like we always roll in the postseason. So this is how we're going to have to do stuff.
Because they essentially did the same thing as the Cubs. They just went pitching instead of hitting.
That's right. That's right. And the thing that I liked, that I have always liked about the Mets is that the challenge of the Mets is it is really hard in New York to get ink on the back page, even when the Yankees aren't good. The Yankees dominate the back page in New York when they're very good or bad. They just generate the news. So you can kind of say, look, we're trying to compete in the city with the Yankees, but they know they're not really competing with the Yankees. The Yankees own the city. It's not split 50-50 in a sense that it's mostly Yankee fans with Met fans that have to kind of put up with the Yankee attention. So when they want to go do this, yes, it is hard to do it in a market, but they aren't going toe to toe with the Yankees. I don't know if that's like that in Chicago, where is it 50-50 with the Cubs White Sox?
No, I'd say it more definitely leans towards the Cubs.
Leans towards Cubs. I mean, the Mets were a creation to satisfy the Giants and the Dodgers,
right,
who left for California. That was the fan base. That's who they went after. They went after the Brooklynites. They went after the people in Queens. They went after anybody that was a Giants fan that didn't want to, you know, root for a team all the way out in California. But you know, still, it's a Yankee dominated city. But it's still, you know, the Mets, I love the enthusiasm of Mets fans when their team is in it, because it's not very often that they're in it. It just, with the last time they were in it, they were facing the Yankees, which was like, we can't even get the city together. The 86 team was so good that wasn't like this team. I mean, this team was like 500 in July, and now, you know, turned it on, got Yoenis Cespedes, really turned it on, won the division outright. And it went in the postseason. The 86 team almost lost to Houston and Mike Scott, and then emerged from that series and went to the World Series against the Red Sox. Almost lost that series. They were down 2-0 to the Red Sox and had to scramble to win it in 7. But this team is really fun. I mean, with the kid pitchers that they've got, is really, really fun. And I'm glad David Wright's got a, you know, he was supposed to be the second prince of the city outside of Derek Jeter. That was supposed to be where he would take over. And now he's got him in the World Series. All right, 800-777-2907. All right, we do this just before the NFL weekend. We give you the best of the weekend and worst of the weekend, the games you should watch and the games you probably should ignore in the NFL. That's coming up next on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, it's our best and worst of the weekend in the National Football League. I went with bratwurst this time. We did beer and chicken wings, haven't we?
Yes.
All right, so bratwurst this time. It's going to be a beverage next week. So start coming up with one.
Okay.
I don't know where we could go with that. How many beverages could you possibly have associated with football tailgating? We're going to do apple martinis? I don't think that's going to work. Anyway, bratwurst 1 through 5 on the grades of the games this weekend. We'll start in London, England, Buffalo against Jacksonville. And Bo, by the way, you can catch that on Yahoo Sports, all streaming around the world. Buffalo and Jacksonville.
I give it a 1.
Welcome to the NFL, rest of the world.
Yeah, we're going to stream this game all over the world. Let's give you the Jaguars.
Let's give you the Jaguars and the Bills that have EJ Manuel at quarterback.
Right. At least LeSean McCoy's playing, but Sammy Watkins.
Oh, thank God. I know. Sammy Watkins is out. Oh, God. Jacksonville. Wow. And they extended that London deal to 2020.
Yeah. Yep.
Heck, oh, that owner loves going to London. Going to bring the Jags to London. Yeah, I give it a 1, 1.5. Bills, you know, I'm still into the Bills. I'm still riding with them. I picked them to go to the playoffs. I'm still going to ride them going to the playoffs, but whew, Jacksonville is just yuck. All right, Tampa Bay at Washington.
1.5
1.5
Yeah.
Yeah, 1.5 brats, which will still give you enough gas. This is not a good game at all.
No, I might actually take it down to a 1 already.
Yeah, maybe so.
just in my 10 seconds, just down to a 1.
So far, the NFL is batting 1,000.
Yeah.
Atlanta against Tennessee.
I'll give this a 2. No, is Mariota playing?
Yeah, here's the reason I'm giving it a 2. Is Mariota is probably not going to play. Second straight day he's missed practice. He did not practice today. Now they say all the right things, right? Friday's the big day. He'll work out Friday. If he can do some things on Friday, then he'll play. So it's not 100% sure. But what if Zach Mettenberger is like lights out good?
Right.
What if he throws 3 touchdowns, no picks, 315 yards, polished performance by Zach Mettenberger as he beats the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, that's what I love.
That's the only interest in this game.
That's what I love about like this media time with Twitter and everything. Early in the week, I saw, Mariota might be out 1 to 2 weeks. And then it was, he's going to be out several weeks because his knee's really screwed up. And then he comes out and says he's going to play this weekend. And now they're like, yeah, we don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, we don't know. We'll find out. I guess the second the game starts.
Seems to be the progression.
Yeah. New Orleans at Indianapolis.
I'll give it a 2, 2.5 just because I want to see the Colts, how they bounce back from that Indy loss.
I think this has got a little bit more staying power. I'm going close to 3, probably a 3, because I'm with you. I want to see how the Colts bounce back. The Saints, I'd like to see if the Saints can turn some stuff around, maybe make a little noise. I don't think they have the players to do so. They're really injured. Boy, are they injured. Whoa, I go onto their secondary sites and stuff, and much, and they are just beat up. A lot of guys out. So, but just to see Indianapolis, to see if they're bounced back well from the New England loss. Minnesota at Detroit. Whew. The Lions. This would have been better at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
This had that kind of, secondary NFC North battle. But no, not today.
I'd give it a 2.
I'm giving this a 2 as well. I'm giving it a 2, 2.5. That's it. Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Why is it that we're getting teams that won where... These would have been really great, and they ended up being so lousy.
I just think it's because the NFL overall isn't very good.
I don't think it's very good at all. We just went through, this is our sixth game, where it's,
And to tell you,
one team is good and the other one's terrible, or both teams are terrible.
I'm looking down this list, it doesn't get any better.
No.
This NFL... And you kind of realize that week after week, you're not getting good games. There's no good games.
This is a product that is really, really taking a nosedive. The Chiefs have lost 5 in a row, and we know they don't have Jamal Charles. What else do they have? What, Jeremy Maclin was in the concussion protocol, or he was hurt? I mean, is he even going to play?
Last I saw, they didn't think so.
Landry Jones is probably going to start a quarterback for Pittsburgh, despite Ben Roethlisberger throwing the ball around a little bit. If I was, I wouldn't play Ben. I would not force Ben back at all. I would not force him back. Look, and it's not because, and here's the deal, it's not because it's just the Chiefs. Coaches don't think like that in the NFL.
Right.
They do not think like that. They always go, everybody can beat you. But still, play for the long haul and make sure he's back healthy. Do not mess around. All right, Cleveland at St. Louis.
It's just bad. Just bad.
Bad again!
I mean, the Rams are kind of an interesting team to watch because you want to see what Gurley can do. You know, but if they had a quarterback, they're a playoff team all day long. But Nick Foles is this hot and cold guy that can never figure anything out.
It's funny because the St. Louis Rams have Todd Gurley, and they may fall in love with him and then move to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to fall out in love with him. Yeah, and the Browns, I've said this and I'll keep saying it. The Browns are a pest. That's what they
yes.
are.
Yeah.
They're just a pest. They're not great. They're not terrible. And they will give you a game like they gave Denver a game. But I'm not interested in this. No. I'm not. This isn't must-see TV. This is a 2 bratwurst game.
Yeah, 2.
Houston at Miami. This is a little better for me. I'm going to give this 3.5.
I'd say 3.
And the reason is, I think Dan Campbell could be for real.
I mean, he has this team looking completely different. I mean,
different.
There's still problems with them, but they still have so much talent on this team that they can make a little bit of a run here.
I think Dan Campbell is for real. So I want to know if he's for real before I put all my stock into it. So this is why it's a 3.5 for me. And Houston, you know what? Houston is a team that if things work well, they can be interesting, but they're not a very good team. I mean, but I still like their defense. I still like J.J. Watt. I still like watching him play.
Yeah, you still have Watt. You still have Clowney. You still have Arian Foster. Playing well. You have DeAndre Hopkins. So there's some guys there to watch that are fun. So, yeah, it makes it at least an interesting game to watch.
That's why I'm going to go with the 3.5 because, again, I want to see if Dan Campbell's is really changed the culture there and Miami starts bursting onto the scene. All right, New York Jets at New England. All right, this is like a 4.
Best game of the week by far.
4.5. You know what? Give it a 5 because this is the best game of them all.
I would give it a 5. You got the Jets defense look pretty good. Can Ryan Fitzpatrick continue what he's been doing with this offense and Brandon Marshall and Chris Ivory? I mean, yeah, it should be a fun game.
I hope the New England Patriots don't beat them 38-3. Because I really want to see.
I kind of hope they do, just because it's so much fun when Bill Belichick does that, and it just pisses every other fan off in the world when the Patriots just continue to do it. So, I hope for a good game.
Oakland at San Diego.
I think it's interesting because you always want to, you'd like Amari Cooper and Derek Carr, and you kind of want to see what the Raiders are coming
along.
They're
a fun team.
So I would give it a 3.
San Diego, God, they're 2-4, man. They have this. The Chargers have to go 8-2 to finish 10-6.
Part of me just wants to see if Phillip Rivers throws 60 times again.
Yeah, 60 times. I mean, they're talking about not only putting ice, but man, you're going to need like Mr. Miyagi on that arm, right, to throw it off. Oh, Mr. Miyagi, my arm hurts. I can't wax the cars anymore. I can't throw the ball anymore. Oh, how'd you do that, Mr. Miyagi? Dallas at the Giants. Only if Dez Bryant plays. Yeah. I'm not interested in the Matt Castle era starting for the Cowboys.
After watching what I watched the other night with the Giants and Eli Manning, and I went on Twitter and I was like, Eli is just a terrible quarterback, which is wrong, but he was just so bad. He makes so many stupid decisions that he's hard to watch, and his face is just stupid.
Oh, and then every when he gives you that give you that Eli whine.
And yeah, anytime something goes wrong, he gives you that face, and you just want to punch him. Like I just hate watching the New York Giants because of that reason.
Philadelphia at Carolina. This is good. This is a 4 for me because Carolina is good, and Carolina's for real. Philadelphia is getting better, even though they don't look better. They're winning games, and this is the test for Chip Kelly. So I'll give that a 4. And real quick, Baltimore at Arizona Monday night.
Cardinals 2. Roll them.
Columns rolled. Give it a 2. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
This is Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.
Working the third shift.
This is Tony D.
Once again,
from the Quicken Loans Studios, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. You know, I am just obsessed. I got to admit, every now and then, this happens to me a couple of times a year, there'll be a story in sports that I obsess over. And I'll do it a couple of times in the week, and then maybe I'll bring it up when it's died down a little bit. But I get attached to a story and I can't let it go. It's kind of, maybe it's one of the little faults that I have. This Patino Louisville story is just one of those stories. Because I look at it from so many different angles, right? Is this woman believable? She wrote a book. She is obviously trying to profit on the inside information on the Louisville program. Why weren't their kids talking about this? I mean, there was a strip club in the dorm, on the basketball dorm, and some players didn't even know it existed, apparently. How does that happen? I remember, and then in the age of social media, how do you get young kids all to agree not to say a word? And here's the other thing too. We're talking about recruits. We weren't necessarily talking about players that were buying into the system hook, line, and sinker that were in that didn't want to see their school go down. We're talking about recruits who are being pitched to go to Louisville. What if they decided, I'll have sex with some strippers, but in the end, I'm going to Duke, or in the end, I'm going to go to UCLA, or in the end, I'll play at Texas. I ain't playing at Louisville, but and then just yapping with their friends, like, yeah, you'll never believe what happened to me on my recruiting trip to LSU. So I meet Rick Pitino, and then they take me around campus, and they show me the KFC Yum Center, and they put my name up in the lights, and that's all good. And then I meet with the coaching staff, and they're pretty cool, and they got a pretty cool weight facility. And then later on that night, like, I'm hanging around with a bunch of other recruits, and like 20 girls came in, and they start dancing, and like, they told me later just to pick one out, and we went in the back room somewhere. Where are those conversations? Because you have to know that those conversations would exist, 100%. I'll give you an example. About 4, 5, 6 years ago, Mississippi State was having trouble because they had a 18 and over topless club in Starkville called The Pony. And what happened was recruits, high school kids, would be going to Starkville, and because it was an 18 and over topless club, these recruits would go visit Starkville and they would end up at The Pony. And then they started posting on Facebook that they were at The Pony. But they would, of course, thinking that they would be sly, and they would say things like, "Ride my horse," or "Pony," right? And people sort of went, yeah, I think they're talking about the strip club down in Starkville. Kids just can't help, especially high school kids, can't help sharing these kind of moments. I mean, if you're a kid in high school and you just went to Louisville and they're offering you free sex with a stripper, what, are you literally walking away from that as an 18-year-old kid going, I'm not telling anybody. No, I'm not even telling my friends. No way. You can't keep a secret at all in this country with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Vine, whatever the heck they else got now. You can't keep a secret for 2 seconds. So there's a lot of angles. That's why I'm obsessed with the story, because if they do fire Pitino, it says a lot about the way, you know, the way they feel about these allegations. If they stand by him, but there's corroboration that it was true, but they give him the benefit of the doubt, that says some things too. It's just really, really fascinating where the story could end up going. Like I said, incredible source, but yet she might be telling the truth. And you might also have players that will say, yeah, you know what? It was going down. But Howie Lindsay joined us earlier in the show tonight, and he said that he covered the program, and he covers the program extensively. He's not on the periphery. He's talking to players daily. He's in the school. He's at campus. You know, he's on campus. He hears what people hear. He said in his time there, he never heard of a strip club in the basketball dorms. And again, this wouldn't be just like bringing a couple of girls up quietly. This would be dancing and music and all that other stuff. Rick Pitino's going to be losing his mind. Oh, I'm not going down for this. Uh-uh. Rick Pitino is not going down for this. You know he's a survivor. He's not going to give this away. He won a national championship a couple years ago. He's got his reputation all set. He had to deal with that Karen Cyphers bit a couple years ago, that extortion. He handled that. He survived that, won a national title, went to a couple of Final Fours.
I'm just waiting for the pictures of Pitino at the strip club in the dorm room to come
out. Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
You know, TMZ will probably have it within a week.
Yeah, exactly. If there's one, TMZ is going to have it. If there is a cell phone out there where somebody accidentally took, and by the way, Rick Pitino would be like, everybody, make sure you take your cell phones and put them in a basket. Not doing this. I remember when the Karen Cyphers bit was going down. Pitino gave a press conference on the day that Ted Kennedy passed away. Legendary Ted Kennedy passed away. And so everyone in Louisville is like, all right, this guy's being extorted. He had an affair. He's accused of, you know, paying for her abortion. I mean, it's just all big, messy, messy scandal. And he got mad because he couldn't believe he had to have a press conference on the day that Ted Kennedy died. And the media was like, yeah, Ted Kennedy died, but this is pretty big news too, Rick. The local the basketball coach involved in an extortion sex scandal. We're supposed to go, well, I mean, it's not Ted Kennedy passing away, so we better let this just slide. Rick Pitino is a survivor, man. He is not going down with this ship. It's going to take the president of the university to fire him. If that's what it's going to take. He's not leaving. He's not leaving. And it's got money on the table. He ain't walking away from this. And is it, you know what I wonder? Let's say he gets fired. Let's say the school goes, that's it. We're not putting up with this bad image. We don't have any evidence you knew, but we're not doing this. Does he pull a Bob Knight and have a rally? Remember when Bob Knight got fired in 2000, 2001, and they had a rally for him on the campus of Indiana? Do they do that for Rick Pitino? Do they have like a big old... Joe Paterno got the same thing, right? Didn't they go to his house? When he got fired, the students like flocked to his house.
Yeah,
to,
there was a ton of them outside his house.
Poured over to the Paterno house.
And then remember they went to the statue afterwards and they were there all night. They had like a candlelight vigil.
Good Lord. People, oh my God, that's nuts.
That might be one of the worst things.
That's our lowest point.
That's bad. That's a bad look for America.
It's one of our lowest humanity points. This is when other countries go, see that man? He may have been complicit in a pedophile scandal. And see these students? They are all gathering and worshiping at his statue because he lost his job. That's America for you, kids. That is our worst moment. That is a bad moment.
Oh
God!
Just thinking back to that, it's just so frustrating to see what they did.
I was listening a couple of years ago. We'll say 2 years ago. I have a bunch of old shows from my Denver days, and for whatever reason, I just popped one in and was listening to it. I was doing some editing and whatnot just to see where I was a couple of years ago. And I did this. It was the day I did the. Remember when Jerry Sandusky was being interviewed by Bob Costas?
Yeah.
Remember that, and just vomited all over himself, and just. You wanted to go, Jerry, you need a lawyer like right now, like right now. You need to have a lawyer come in and shut this thing down. And I remember listening to that and doing the show on that going, golly, what a bizarre, bizarre time. And you want to talk about obsessed with a story? I was obsessed with that one because I could not believe Penn State was that whole thing was going to blow up. And that was one of the most hideous sports.
And it just seemed filthy. Like every time. Someone else opened their mouth from Penn State or the family or, you know, his son. Like it just got stupider and stupider and stupider.
Everybody needed a PR department. Yes. Like everybody needed like some public relations
firm.
There
wasn't one.
They just could not help themselves by making that situation worse and worse and worse. Just look, I mean, there was a part of me that was like, when I was listening to Jerry Sandusky back then, there was a part of me that was like, all right, I'm really glad he's mentioning this kind of stuff because this is just going to slam dunk the case. But then there's this legal side of me that's almost like, dude, shut up. Like there was this defense attorney in me that wanted to run in there and go, all right, this is over. My client is done. Thank you very much. We're leaving. What were you thinking, man? What are you thinking? Don't say this kind of stuff. Because it was that bad. This is kind of in that same vein in a way. You're going to have guys, if this actually did happen, then there's going to be pressure on kids to say stuff, and there's going to be pressure on coaches to say stuff. And you watch, some coach is going to say something dumb or stupid, or I'm expecting somebody from the institution to say, well, we all do this. And then it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Yeah, I'm just, like, to me, I just want to see how Louisville handles this. Because if Louisville handles this the way I think they should handle this, then I'll have all the respect in the world for them. But if they go, well, you know, we just don't know, and, you know, and just, then I'll just know they're beholden to the basketball fans that paid big money for that kind of stuff. All right, 800-777-2907, and we were talking also about the NFL game tonight, Seattle Seahawks. They get back on track with a win against the San Francisco 49ers, and also UCLA, a big win over Cal, and the Pac-12 gets messier and messier and messier. We'll talk some college football next as we take a look at the SEC and where LSU is in terms of controlling its own destiny and pretty much the landscape, because there's a line that was used today that I want to know. I want to look at it closely to see if I agree with it. Embrace the chaos. Is there really chaos? Next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on.
Back to the Quick and Loud Studios.
And back to Tony D.
All right, I was going to get into the chaos of college football, but I just got this message on our Facebook page that I got to do. See what happens when you communicate with this show? You could change the direction of the show. Maybe. I shouldn't always put that caveat out there. Steven with the message in on Tony D Radio Show on Facebook says, I got into a debate about Cincinnati having not played anyone so far as for a winning team, so the 6-0 means nothing. Interesting stat. Now, I thought this was very interesting. Out of the 5 undefeated teams left, only one game of 28 has been played against a team with a winning record. New England beat Pittsburgh. The average winning percentage for the teams that have played our 5 undefeated teams is 168.168, which equates to 2-4. So which of the 5 losses for which of the 5 losses first out of the 5 undefeated? That's interesting that the undefeated teams are kind of beating up on the weak teams, but I have a response to this. It's something Adam and I talked about in our breakdowns. The whole league is bad. It's like a society where there's the rich and then the like poor and very poor. It's like you're either very good in this league or bad. There are no mediocre teams. Every team has got that, even if you're 3-3, that feeling of injuries and they lost this guy or this guy's done for the season. Yeah, there is a massive amount of teams in this league that are not very good right now.
Think about this. Okay, using the Bengals, if I told you after 6 weeks the Bengals were 6-0 and they beat these teams, you would have told me I was crazy because it was a hard schedule. They played the Raiders, the Chargers, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, and the Bills. I mean, think about it. Those teams I just said were all predicted to be good football teams this year.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
I mean, the Raiders are still the Raiders. I mean, they're up and coming, but they should have beat them. The Chargers are always a good team. We thought the Ravens were going to be a good team. They turned out not to be. The Chiefs, same thing. The Seahawks are struggling, but they're still the Seahawks. And the Bills, we thought, you know, with the really good defense, yeah, they got lucky and played EJ Manuel, but, I mean, they still have one of the best defenses in football. So, I mean, like you said, it's just, I don't even want to call it parity. It's just been a lot of bad teams.
Yeah, they're right. It's just a lot of bad teams. A lot of it has been massively disappointing. Some of these teams are massively disappointing. And look, it sets up for my problem with the fact that a lot of teams have kind of fallen off is that it doesn't lead to a lot of the drama that I kind of thought we were going to get this season. I mean, I made the bold prediction at the beginning of the year that the Denver Broncos weren't going to make the playoffs. And I just said, look, I think the Peyton Manning stuff, the struggle of Peyton Manning is going to be real. And I think the Broncos are going to struggle and they're not going to make the playoffs. Well, obviously, you know, they're 6-0. So it's not like they're, you know, 3-3 and winning the division. But Kansas City losing Jamal Charles, that's it. They're not even going to get a push from them. San Diego at 2-4 better get their act together quickly. Same thing with the Raiders. I mean, it doesn't lend itself to the kind of drama I thought I was going to get in that division. I thought Kansas City and San Diego are going to push Denver to the limit. And it's the same thing with the AFC North. Cincinnati's good, and Pittsburgh's playing very well, even without Ben Roethlisberger. But I thought the Ravens would be right there with them. And it's a good three-team race. I thought the Detroit Lions would be very good. And they're not at all very good. And the NFC East, you know, I didn't think the Dallas Cowboys were going to lose Dez Bryant and Tony Romo. I thought the division was going to be theirs. But that whole division right now is lousy. And it just lends itself to, I don't know who I like. I mean, it lends itself to what we did, which is go through the schedule and realize, hey, most of these games are pretty dog games. They're not very good games at all. Yeah, and you know, Cincinnati, back to Steven's point about the Bengals. I like the Bengals at 6-0, and I don't like the person you're arguing with, Steven, doesn't understand this concept. The Bengals are not putting their 6-0 record up against historical 6-0 teams. They're not comparing themselves to old 6-0 teams. It's not like, well, the Bengals aren't as good as the 2007 Patriots or the 72 Dolphins or the 1990 Giants. They're not trying to compare. It does not matter who you beat at 6-0. It doesn't matter if you are beating bad teams. What we ask is that when you play these teams, you look the part of a team that should be 6-0. And can we honestly say, can we all be in agreement that the Cincinnati Bengals at 6-0 have done exactly what you're supposed to do when you are a very good complete football team at 6-0 in the NFL? Same with the Patriots. The Patriots are 5-0. And we can honestly say the Patriots have done exactly what you're supposed to do when you're that loaded and you're playing teams that are not that loaded. You beat them by a lot. And the Patriots are beating teams by a lot. And the Bengals look as complete as ever. Have we ever done the Sunday show, the Sunday wrap-up, where we said, whew, Bengals, not really sure now. Even though they won, I'm not really sure. Every week we're saying the exact same thing. The Cincinnati Bengals are as complete as you're going to get in the NFL. Andy Dalton is playing MVP-like football. They do all sorts of things well. Defensively, they're great. They're coached great. They're getting great offensive line. He has a clean pocket. All of these things have resulted in being 6-0. Your friend, if you're debating with them, is making a stupid argument to say that the Bengals don't deserve any credit for going 6-0 because they're playing bad teams. It's still 6-0 in the calendar year of 2015, which means all you have to do is be better than the other 31 teams to win a Super Bowl. You don't have to put that record up or that mark up or that season up against any other season.
Well, and it's like, you know, we've said multiple times just this week alone that this isn't like the college game where these guys are, you know, scheduling a Ball State or, you know, a Western Kentucky. These are all NFL teams that can beat each other on any given day.
Any given day.
So
any given day.
Being undefeated after 6 weeks is a big deal. Yeah, there's five of them, but I equate that more to the fact that the league is down for the most part at the bottom is just really bad. I mean, look at our NFL power rankings. Our bottom five is always changing because there's so many bad teams.
And there's teams that we never considered 2 weeks before.
Exactly.
It's all of a sudden we're like, wow, the Kansas City Chiefs are really, really bad. Without Jamal Charles, they are really, really bad.
It took us a while to put the Lions in. I mean, the Lions looked awful for like 3-4 weeks, but we didn't ever put them in because there were so many other bad teams. But now we're like, the Lions might be the worst team in football.
Right. And for me, the Ravens. The Ravens,
exactly.
I didn't touch the Ravens for weeks until I finally went, yeah, you know what? Eventually, this record is what it is. No matter if you're playing tough and losing by three, it is what it is.
I still don't even think I've put the Buccaneers in the bottom, and they're obviously one of the worst teams in football, but there's so many just bad teams that we weren't expecting that I feel like I have to put in there to make sure, you know, it's known that these teams are just bad this year.
Exactly. I give all the credit in the world to these teams that are undefeated. And again, do I look at the Bengals the same way? And I know I have to be consistent on this. The Cincinnati Bengals are a team I'm still have to wait to the playoffs because they're in, you know, the playoffs. But I will say this is as good as I've ever seen them in the regular season. This is a really good football team. They're not playing with fool's gold. They're not a beneficiary of an easy schedule. They are complete. I expect the Bengals to win by double digits, and they win by double digits, and Andy Dalton is having an MVP season, and I won't take anything away from them. They're that good. All right, I will get into the college football game next hour. We got our Heisman 5 coming up, and also Eric Adelson of Yahoo Sports live in London. How are people in jolly old England treating the NFL? Next, Yahoo Sports Radio.